Thank you, Brother Poplin. There is no secret what God can do. I wonder what He'll do this morning. If you'll let Him, He'll do great things. All right, Luke chapter 15 this morning. Again, appreciate you being in the Lord's house. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll get into the message here in just a moment. Again, I appreciate all that the Lord has done, what the Lord's going to do. It's good to have Miss Aretha back, if I hadn't said that already. She made her way back yesterday and in the Lord's house this morning. And it's good to have her back with us. She's got a mess to walk into. My wife's tried her best to keep all the desks clean, but she'll get work her way through it, though. Luke chapter 15 this morning. Let me tell you this. I don't usually tell jokes, but I read this. I thought, boy, this is funny to me. Adam went to God one day when they were out in the garden and got talking to God and said, God, how come you made Eve so beautiful, that long black hair? He said, well, Adam, that way you would like her. Well, God, why did you make her just so soft and smell so sweet and so good? God said, well, Adam, that's so you'll love her. Adam said, well, God, why'd you make her so dumb? He looked at Adam and said, so she'll like you. There you go. Won't remember nothing I said, but you'll remember that. So there you go. I thought that was sort of cute. All right. Luke chapter 15. Let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. Luke chapter 15. Very familiar portion of Scripture this morning. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11 this morning. We know this section here as the prodigal son, and I know it's a figurative but also a spiritual lesson to be seen here this morning. Luke chapter 15 this morning, beginning in verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me this portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have filled his belly with the husk that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Thank you, Lord, again for the good word of God. Thank you, Lord, for our time together. God, I pray for the next little bit. God, Lord, would you help us this morning? God, how we need help. God, I pray that you'll give clarity today. I pray, God, that your spirit would speak to hearts today. God, Lord, that we'd see a move of God in this place. And Lord, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for all you've done for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You'll be seated this morning. Again, I know this morning as we've read these scriptures, if you've been in church any time at all, you've heard many probably messages preached. You've heard Sunday school lessons taught. We've known again this as that thought as the prodigal son. And many times we play out this story as we read this thing. And again, just to put that in our mind, here we have a child. He come, or a son, an older son, I'm sure at this time, came to his daddy and said, Daddy, give me what I'm supposed to get. And he went, and I can't imagine talking to my daddy that way. But here this man went to his father and told his father, says, give me what you owe me. And you know, we live in such a time that people feel like they're owed. Even in a church house, people live like they're owed. Listen, we ought to thank God that we have what we have. We just heard Brother Wilson talk about how things are in India. I can't imagine. My pastor's been there twice on mission trips. He's come back and I've heard him. I've seen him weep. He's been out there, what they call the trash cities. He's been there witnessing to people as they're out there living on literal trash piles. Now, we don't fathom that. Here we are seated in a beautiful building on comfortable chairs with air conditioning and all the things you ate. You've got a car. You've got everything. And we're so overly well blessed. But we don't even realize it so many times. We're always saying, give me something else. Give me something else. So we find here this young man came to his daddy and he said, give me what you owe me. And so many times when we read that, and again, it's easy to get caught up into this, we always think of the physical side of things, don't we? We think about here's daddy, had money in the bank probably, had some business stuff, had this, had that, and here's a young boy wants his share. And daddy gives him those things. And again, in the society we live in, I've dealt with people ever since I've been in the ministry, it amazes me. I hope and pray that I'm like my daddy when it comes time that my mom and daddy do pass away and it's up to me and my brother to take what my daddy and mama has accumulated. I hope I don't go stupid. I remember my grandpa died. My daddy took every one of them. He was over the estate. He took his five siblings in there, set them all down in the house and said, there's not one thing in this house worth fighting for. He says, I'll sell everything that's in this place and divide the money up equally before we have a fight. Why you say that, preacher? Because I've seen so many families before daddy or mama's even, what we say, cold in the grave, already fighting. I worked with a man that when I worked at Freightliner, his parents, the last of his parents died. He said he literally had to put a padlock on the door of their house because other siblings and grandchildren were coming in and stealing because they said they deserved that. That was theirs. Now, I hope that's not our mentality, but apparently it is to some people. Don't let your flesh act that way. But again, here's this young man, and on the fleshly side of things, we can see how this young man said, give me my money, give me my car, give me this, give me that. But I don't want to look on the physical side of things this morning. I want to think more this morning maybe how you and I are with our Heavenly Father. I wonder this morning as this story plays out how the Father gave unto that young man this stuff. And this young man, we're told, goes out into the world and lives a riotous life and spends everything he has and finds himself wanting. I wonder this morning spiritually what we've done with what God has given us. We, as soon as we breathe our air, as soon as we're born into this world, God has given us so much. But I wonder this morning if we're like this young man and we went to God and said, God, give me what's mine. And we've taken ourself and we've taken all that God has blessed us with and turned our back on the Father and went out into this world and took our Heavenly Father's gifts and lived it into a riotous world. I'm afraid many times we do. I'm afraid many times we take what God has blessed us with and the talents that God has given us and we've said, God, I don't want you. I want to go do what I want to do and I'm going to go do it. And here we find a young man that did that with his own physical father. But I wonder again how many times we've done that to our spiritual father. That's a sad state, isn't it? But again, I don't think we understand what we've done. Many times, we are guilty, but we don't even realize we're guilty. But I want to draw our minds as we think about that thought of taking what God has given us and taking all those things that God has blessed us with and not use it for God's glory and not use it for God's purpose and turned it and went out into the world and said, this is my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to do it. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. We find this young man here found himself in a terrible place. He wasted everything that he had. And boy, I've seen a lot of people waste their lives. I've seen them have, it breaks my heart because, you know, it's always 2020 looking back. There's no do-overs in life. Can I tell you that? I've been thinking a lot about things. Boy, I wish I'd have done this when I was younger. I wish I'd have set things in order better when I was younger. But friend, you're not going to go back. But I watch as I look back and I see young boys and young girls that God has given them such a potential. And instead of using that for God, they have decided to go with the ways of the world. I've watched parents do the same thing. So, but this young man, as he's wasted, as he's found himself there amongst the swine, and again, you've heard it preached, you know, no worse place that this young boy could have been for a Jew to be in the pig pen. You can't imagine how low this boy got for a Jew to be in the pig pen. And here he is, starving to death. Here he is, dirty and muddy and just nasty and all those things there as he's working that pig pen. And then we come to that wonderful verse there in verse number 18. We see the young man as we come to that place. He says, verse 17, he says, when he came to himself. That's a great place to come this morning. Why don't you look at yourself this morning in the mirror of the Word of God? Why don't you get yourself beyond yourself and see what God really sees? And he says here in verse 17, he says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I got to thinking about that young man, and I got to thinking about not just the physical again, but the spiritual side. I began to think about me, and I began to think about us, and I began to think about our world and what we're living in. And I got to thinking, when it come down to that place of dread, when he come down to that place where there was nowhere else to turn, when he finally got lower than himself, where did he want to go? He wanted to go back home, didn't he? There's nothing like home. And I got to thinking about that thought of home, and I the older I'm getting, the more I like home. I like the house. But this young man, when he really got down to the low of the low, when it seemed like he was going to perish there amongst them hogs, he didn't say, I want to go back to the bar. He didn't say, I want to go back with that crowd. He didn't say, I want to go out back into the world. He come down to the end of his road there, and he says, I want to go home. And there is something about going home. I've got in my physical life, my daddy, my grandpa have taken me to their, what we call the old home place. Isn't it something that, now these young people, they ain't got a clue. But you know, the older we get, it's something about thinking about that old home place, isn't it? It's easy to go back. And my daddy's took me up in the mountains there of what's that county? Alexander County. And showed me where they grew up. There's nothing there. That's an old rotted down frame with weeds and brush all over it. You can't see that. But he says, that's where I grew up. He says, that creek right there is where me and my brothers and sisters used to play. See, it's something about going back in their mind and going to that place and thinking about home. It brings back a lot of memories. It brings back a lot of good times. Even in death. I've heard many accounts, I've read many accounts of people in the battlefield in the arms of somebody and they're taking their last breath and they'll say, I want to go home. Why? Because there's comfort in that thought of home. There's something about knowing there's home. It gives us stability. It gives us a place of rest and security. And this young man, when he finds himself so low and so down and out, he realizes he needs to go home. And I got to thinking about home. And really, I believe that God shows us in His Word there's three homes that God has instituted. And I want to look real quickly. And I know time's getting away. But I want to look this morning on three things about home that, boy, you don't need to waste.
See, this young man wasted home. This young man says, I don't want, I'm leaving, I'm out of here. Just to find himself saying, I wish I could go home. The first home that I got to thinking about this morning, or as I began to pray about this morning, the first home and is the greatest of home is our heavenly home. See, the Bible says in John chapter 14, He's going to prepare a place for us. Isn't it amazing when we think about home? Physically, we think about home, we think about backwards, doesn't we? We think about all the old days and the good times of home. But isn't it funny on this side of things, spiritually, when I start thinking about home, I'm talking about a place I've never been. I'm talking about a place that's in the future. I'm talking about a place that I can't even begin to imagine. But guess what? It's still home. And I got to thinking this morning, I wonder how many people, Sunday after Sunday, service after service, week after week, waste their heavenly home. See, this morning you might be sitting here, oh, preacher, there's no visitors, that don't mean nothing. There's going to be a lot of people that sit on a pew Sunday after Sunday when the time comes and death knocks on their door or the rapture comes. They're not ready, they're not going to a heavenly home. See, it doesn't take church membership, it doesn't take baptism, it takes a new birth. And unless you've been born again, you're not going to have a heavenly home. But I got to thinking, I wonder this morning if there'd be somebody here this morning that would just get a longing for home, amen? Hey, I wonder us as children of God, hey, how we throw our tent stake so much into this earth that we care more about this world than we do that world. I'm thinking about a heavenly home this morning. And I get to thinking, and I know the Bible's full of things that we can run to, but just to think about just being in the presence of the Lord Himself. Going home. Can you imagine just coming into that place of security, knowing that all is well? There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more heartache. There'll be no more death. We're at home at the Lord. But this young man here that we find in Luke wasted his life and found at the end of his life he just wanted to go home. I promise you, you go look at that rich man in hell. He desired to get out of there. He wanted to go back. He says, would you send somebody to tell my brothers? Would you send somebody to tell my family? They don't want to come here because this ain't home. Where will you spend eternity? See, God has given us a heavenly home prepared for you. What are you doing about it? This morning, are you ready to go home? Now, I know this morning, even when I thought about what we taught Wednesday night, listen, I'm thankful that I can go through this life, and it's what gives me hope. It's what gives me the help that I have. No matter what happens in this world, I'm going home. So I thank God for our heavenly home. The second home I got to thinking about, and I thank God for one. I hope that ours was one. But with that heavenly home, the only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm born again, amen. I'm a child of God. This young man, he wasted his life, and at the end of it, he wanted to go home. The second thought of home I got to thinking about is a Christian home. Well, that's what we need in America. We need more Christian homes. That's not a perfect home, but it's a Christian home. There is no perfect homes. What kind of home do you have? See, even before God instituted the church, back in Genesis chapter 2, God saw Adam and saw he had a need. There was something missing in his life, and God gave him that woman, Eve, and we know how he established that home. And friend, today we have taken that thought of home, and boy, what a mess that is. I was talking to Seth this week, and he read, and I think it's Alabama. Let me say this before I even get there. If you praise Hollywood, shame on you. It amazes me. A state I know is going to be tough. Georgia's made a stand, says we're going against abortion. We're not going to allow abortion. And look at Hollywood. Well, we're going to boycott you. We won't film our films in Georgia if you do that. And you know what? They'll have a lot of people say, oh, we can't afford not to have them. So they'd rather sacrifice little babies to put money in their pocket. What a shame. But you know what gives them, those celebrities, their power? People like us praising them. People like us buying their stuff. Hey, let's boycott them. Let's say, hey, friend, if you're going that way, we're going this way. Go on down your road. But the home. What a mess our homes have become. I've said it for a long time. It won't be long. The marriage will just be thrown to the side. It's almost there. I think it's Alabama. Shame that it's in the South, but I think it's Alabama. Alabama has decided, I think it's, if it continues to proceed forward, it'll start in 2020. You no longer have to go and get a marriage license. You just sign a piece of paper. That's all they care about. See, the home, the marriage, what God instituted, what God put down is a need in our life. Man has said, we don't need that. We don't want that. We want what we want, and we're going to go our way. I promise you, a home without God will find itself wanting. This morning, I thank God for a Christian home. I thank God for a mom and daddy that took me to church. I thank God for a wife that stood beside me as we've gone all over the place trying to preach and trying to serve God, that took my children and tried her best to teach them and train them. Hey, we want to show our children that a Christian's home somewhere that God is first. How's your home? The Christian home. See, this young man found himself wanting. This young man had got as low as he could want it could go. And he says, I'm going home. Why? Home's something important. Thank God for my heavenly home. Thank God for a Christian home. But last of all, this morning, I thank God for our church home. See, we've got so accustomed to church. We just come and go. We don't think about all that takes. And church is just another part of life. It shouldn't be that way. Thank God you have a church home. Hey, friend, this morning, if you're not a member of a church, you ought to get in. Amen. We were talking to a woman this week. And we were out in a business. And we got to talking to her about the Lord a little bit. And I asked her if she went to church anywhere. She said, well, me and my boyfriend, we don't go anywhere regularly. But, you know, I think it's all right just to go wherever sometimes. I said, no. You need to settle down. You need to get in a home and get in there and serve God with a church. God made the church. God did something for us. He gave us the church. But y'all thank God. Do you thank God for your church? I thank God for my heavenly home. I'm glad God has gone to prepare a place for me. I thank God I had a Christian home. But friend, this morning I thank God we have a church home. Man, I'm telling you, I see you more than I see my own folks. Hey, I thank God that I have a place that I can come. Hey, what is it about a church home? It amazes me, the churches that are falling aside. Taking Baptists, well, preacher, Baptists ain't nothing. Well, it identifies who we are. Nowadays, you can't tell most churches if they're a church or a club. Hey, I'm thankful that I go somewhere that's got somebody to stand up and teach and to preach and to sing this good book. But thank God for a church home. Hey, you know why you need to be a part of a church home? It identifies who you are. Hey, I'm not ashamed to say, hey, that's my kind of crowd. But a church home, it identifies. You know what else about a church home? And again, we take it, so this young man, he took it for granted. He says, I don't want home. I'm going to go do what I want to do. Scares me. We've got a few graduates we're going to hopefully recognize next Sunday. But it amazes me. And it's a growing trend. It scares me to death. Young people grow, get out of their own home, go out into college, and never get back into church. Why? Because it's never been instilled to them the importance of church. The need of church. Hey, this is home. My church home. It identifies who we are. It's a place of growth. Hey, it's a place that we can come in and take the Word of God and the things of God and grow one another. Our church home. It's a place of comfort. Hey, I'm glad for brothers and sisters in Christ that will call or text or come by and say, preacher, I love you, or brother, I love you. And when you're hurting, it's good to have somebody that loves you. That's what a church home will do. It encourages you. You know, it gets pretty hard sometimes. I've done it. When I first took our first church, I couldn't get nobody to go knock doors. I just knew it was right to go knock doors. How are you going to get anybody in church if you don't go invite them? I wonder. I wish I could. But I wonder how many houses within a mile of this church has never been invited to this church. Well, preacher, you better get busy. Why ain't you busy? We're a church. We're a family. We're a body. But see, it's encouraging to come when you're not the only one. Hey, it's encouraging to get in there and work side by side. Man, I'm telling you, as I was a young boy, the field behind my house, best dirt in the world to grow rocks. I have never seen so many rocks. My grandpa would set me at the end of the row, and it looked like it was about 500 miles to the other end. I was 12, 13 years old maybe. Had a hoe in my hand. He says, start a hoeing. Looked like 4th of July sparking off the rocks. I mean, it was tough, man. When you're out there hoeing all by yourself, you think, dear God, we ain't ever going to get done. But then all of a sudden, everybody else showed up. I felt a little better. I wasn't alone no more. There's somebody here to give me some help. That's what church is about. Hey, that's what church ought to be about. Hey, it's encouraging to come around the church house and have brothers and sisters in Christ that'll roll their sleeves up and get in the fight and work in this thing. Thank God for our heavenly home. See, this young boy here, he says, Daddy, I don't want that. I'm going to go live my own life. And he left it. But when he got down to the end of it, he says, I just want to go home. Don't waste your life. Don't go through this world and end up one day you're laying on your deathbed and you're saying, I just want to go home. Wish I had another chance just to go home. Wish I'd have done something for God when I could. Wish I'd have been part of a church. Don't waste it. See, our church home is a place of identification. It's a place of growth. It's a place of current. It's a place of work. You see, this morning, I'm afraid many times we're like that young boy there. And we run out and just use our lives up in riotous living to find ourselves in want. There's something about home. I don't know how you are, but some days I do get a longing for home. I get to thinking about heaven. I get to thinking about what the Lord's done for me. I get to thinking about that day that I get to see Him. And I get a longing for home. Oh, there's days that I don't thank God enough for my wife and my home, but I thank God for a Christian home. Hey, I thank God for some of you that are trying your best to raise your children in a wicked world like we live in. To love God and love the things of God. Oh, I thank God for some Christian homes. Boy, I do thank God for our church home. A place that we can come together, sing and praise and worship the Lord, work together for the cause of Christ. I don't want to waste that. I wonder this morning, are you wasting? Well, preacher, I'm here. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're here. You might be here, but you're not connected. You're just... I'll tell you what a man said one time, and you can apply however you want to. Worked at a place in Statesville. This guy got pretty upset over this bunch of knuckleheads, and he said, they're a waste of God's good air. Are you just wasting God's air this morning? Time's a ticking. Life's moving on. Before long, we're going to end this thing up. What have you done for God?
He's got a heavenly home for you. Have you ever made arrangements to go? How do you go, preacher? Jesus says you must be born again. Amen. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved this morning, are you wanting a Christian home? Are you wanting to raise your children, your grandchildren, or up around the things of God? Hey, when it comes to choosing God or the world, are you going to choose God or are you going to choose the world? Children will recognize that. They know. They're not dumb. They're going to go to what's most important to mom and daddy. Like I said, Wednesday night, I think it was, my daughter, my wife would take those cards and put those cards there and try to memorize, teach her to memorize those verses. And she was so young, she didn't even know what those verses meant. Well, preacher, that's a waste. Oh, no. We were putting something in then that I thank God now is coming out. Are you wasting it? That young man wasted it. Don't waste your heavenly home. Hey, mom and dad, you ain't got but one shot to raise them youngins. Amen. Grandma and grandpa, you ain't got but one shot to make an influence on them youngins. I don't know if you know it or not. All those pretty little youngins over in the nursery, all those little ones over there in children's church, all these other little ones over here in this children's church, their souls, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. Don't waste it. And then our church building, this thing God says is the body of Christ, this church, that's you. When's the last time you said, thank God for our church home? When's the last time you got into the church home and actually did something in the church? It's bad that you have to beg. It's bad that you have to wonder if anybody will show. It's bad that you, it's the same, you know, I don't know what the percentage is now. At one time it was about 4% probably. 4% of whatever number that is, that's what does the work. It shouldn't be that way. You know what? It don't always do, but I pretty much expect every part of my body to do what it's supposed to do. When it don't do it, I go to the doctor and say, hey, this thing ain't doing what it's doing. Make it do it. Well, we're a body of Christ. Does our body all work together this morning in one accord? If not, let's figure out what's wrong with it. Let's get things right. But again, I'm done. That young man wasted all that God had given him. Look at what God's given you, friend. He's given you an opportunity to be saved. Don't waste that. He's given you an opportunity to have a godly home. Oh, it amazes me. Breaks my heart. Pornography is eating our country alive. I mean, it's entering the homes and destroying. It's desensitizing. It's killing. You'd be amazed right now. I can't imagine. You remember when we first started that bus route? What was that little girl peed all over you? You don't tell me her name, but you know who I'm talking about. Man, that's the meanest little girl I ever met in my life. She'd bite my wife. My wife would try to hold her. She'd bite her, peed all over her. You know what we did? Went back next Sunday and got her again. We was driving that bus one day. She's like 3-4 years old. I was driving that bus. She was sitting right behind me. This has been 20-some years ago. She's 24 to 30 years old now. She's still alive. That little 4-year-old girl 20-some years ago sat behind me and was cussing like a sailor. I was thinking, how in the world would a 4-year-old know the things that she says? Because that's the kind of home she was growing up in. Oh, how our homes need some help. Need some Christian homes. Christian homes needs church homes. Church homes needs Christian homes. And thank God I'm going to a heavenly home. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. You're going to spend your life. I'm trying to quit. We were knocking doors up here at Forest Glen way back. Man was out, me and my daughter, I remember her being with me. The man was outside working in his yard, and I walked up to him and began talking with him. I don't remember his name. Got talking to him and inviting him to church, talking about things of God, and he says, "I've wasted my life." This is what he told me. He was a upper echelon of Food Line. He said, "The whole time my children were growing up, I was on the road building Food Line." He says, "What got my attention is I came home one day or one weekend. He says, I walked in the house and I met a man in the hallway that I didn't know." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, it was my son." Don't waste your life building upon sand. We don't have but one chance to be a godly daddy, a godly grandpa. Don't waste it. Let's stand together this morning.